Hi, welcome back to the Crescent Moon Kid podcast, where I discuss things parenting and all things child rearing. Today, I'd like to talk about the balance of family power. So when you hear that word power, I just want to invite you to think about what does that sum up for you in a connotation. Maybe you think about an engine making a car go, having the power to make this engine or this vehicle go. Or maybe it calls up for you a memory from a time when you felt someone had power over you. Whatever your history is with that word power, for just these next few minutes, I want to invite you to redefine it within the context of human interaction and family dynamics. Every baby is born with a will, a soul, a drive, whatever your belief system calls it, but it's a mechanism that propels that person forward to learn, to grow, to develop into an adult. Some people might equate it with an ego, but that's also another word that can have some negative connotations and get kind of messy when we think about it. So for this purpose, an ego would be the way in which we as humans define our individuality and our need to create the life we want. So I just want to back up into that framework again for this episode. I'd like to offer a new way to use the word power so that it simply means the will or the life force. And then we can just set aside any negativity that might be associated with that word. So if we think about a baby or a toddler or really any age child, as that child grows, the will, some people call it, becomes more and more obvious because it begins to clash with the will of the adults and the environment. Therefore, our job as parents or caregivers or whoever we are in relation to the child is to help guide that force, that will, toward a positive and productive avenue while still honoring what we are now defining as the child's personal power. And sometimes when I talk about this with parents, I think it can be a little off-putting and confusing, but I really want to emphasize the idea that every child is seeking personal power. And as people, we all need to have that sense of power. So the focus of this episode will be on how parents can maintain an equilibrium with the balance of family power and do it in a way that everyone's needs are being met. So this will help ensure that the child is not grabbing too much power, that he or she's not ready to assimilate. As I said, kids want to feel empowered. If you think about all the things that are being decided for them every day, and then you try to put yourself in those shoes, you may begin to understand why kids have meltdowns or tantrums or try to take control of a situation within the family. And when I hear parents talking about maybe their child is struggling with bedtime or maybe having food issues or toileting issues, I will try to often steer them to a conversation about empowerment, because what I've seen over the course of many years is that often when children are trying to grab at control, and food and toileting are two ways that kids can really control their body, they are wanting to define themselves as empowered. So, as a parent or caregiver, I wonder, how would you define your style of parenting? Are you controlling? Are you permissive? Are you hands off? Do you believe kids should not make any decisions and have everything done for them? Now, of course, your parenting style will be determined by a lot of factors, one of which is the way you were brought up. And so there are four commonly known types of parenting. For my purpose today, I want to include just the following four. So authoritarian is the first one. Authoritative is the second one. Permissive, and then uninvolved. Again, those are authoritarian, authoritative, permissive, and uninvolved. And there are many, many resources discussing parenting, and many more ways to define a parenting approach. But for our purpose today, I just want to focus on these four. So if you want to take some time to reflect on your approach, I welcome you to turn off the recording and do some self-reflection. And or maybe you already know your style, and hopefully you'll be able to see its effects, whether it's positive or negative, on your family. To give you a brief definition, the first two, authoritarian and authoritative, can often be confusing and hard to understand, and I think people get them mixed up, and I know I used to get them rather mixed up. But basically, an authoritarian parent believes in absolute obedience. So they use punishment as discipline. They often disregard the feelings of the child. They expect compliance with their authority. And this is kind of a really old style of parenting. The authoritative parent wants to create a positive relationship with the child, but they still believe in creating rules and consequences for misbehavior. Now, the permissive parent believes basically anything goes. They refuse to set boundaries. They believe that, quote, kids will be kids. And then the uninvolved parent is pretty self-explanatory. They provide little guidance, structure, or attention. And these parents may be struggling with their own psychological issues and maybe unavailable for many different reasons. So from these four basic styles, hopefully you can see that the authoritative parent will have the best outcome with their children. And later in the podcast, I want to share some ideas for implementing a good authoritative approach. For now, I would like to focus on the authoritarian and the permissive ends of the spectrum. And I highly doubt anyone listening to this is an uninvolved parent, so I won't even address that today. As a child grows up in an authoritarian household, they will most likely rebel. They're going to act out. They're going to try to seize control to gain some personal power in an environment that's rigid and controlling and often uncompromising. The authoritarian parent really doesn't take the child's feelings into account. They don't try to approach discipline from a positive angle. So these kids will be seeking power at every turn, and they will most likely have a compromised self-esteem because they will lack that empathy and trust coming from the parent. These parents likely become angry and irritated every time a child refuses to comply with that rigid demand. And so this really sets up an ongoing power struggle. It creates an emotionally violent and possibly a physically violent environment. So in this family, there's basically no balance of power because the teeter-totter is constantly banging up and down with the power struggles between the parent who wants control and the disempowered child who's trying to grab at some semblance of control. So the other end of the spectrum then is the permissive parent. So a child who grows up in that family will continually be searching for boundaries. They're going to seek clarity. They're going to try to understand what's going on because the parents will have not created a structure within which that child can feel safe and secure. And often permissive parents want to be friends with their child. They don't want their child to be upset with them. They don't want them to not like them. And they really most likely don't understand the child's need for a strong adult figure and clear rules and consequences, and that when they set those clear boundaries, that the child is going to feel safe and secure and love them even more. This family allows the power to land mainly in the lap of the child, who's not mentally, emotionally, or socially able to handle that magnitude of control because they're still children. They need the structure to be defined and created by the adults. And when that structure is absent, the child will dominate in an attempt to create the system within which they can function. However, it's impossible for them to achieve that. They don't know what their optimal bedtime is. They don't understand that a diet of cookies and candy will lead to deleterious effects. Ultimately, when the child is allowed too much power, which is really control when you think about it, because the parents have assumed their role of power in the family, that child will become delusional and maybe even drunk on the illusion of power. And this sets those kids up for emotional and physical and psychological even social problems down the road, because they will have grown up with a distorted view of power. And I really believe that for many people, the misunderstandings around how to parent run deep and date far back into history. Because basically, most of us have learned ways to raise children that are outdated. They're developmentally inappropriate. And most people are simply doing the best they can with the knowledge and information that they have. And so I think this is why I feel so strongly about sharing with you, because it's something that I think we can easily correct and that we can easily learn and grow from, because we know so much more about children and the development and the appropriateness of what they need. Unless you've had a parenting class, and even if you have, it may not have been a good one, or unless you read articles about raising kids or you're researching a lot, you're probably doing mostly what you learned from your predecessors. And I'm not suggesting that all previous approaches should be tossed aside, because I think there's a lot to be offered from multi-generational interactions. But what I am passionate about is learning best possible practices and ways that allow for the child's power to unfold in a healthy way within the context of the balanced family structure. And we also should account for any new information that comes into our awareness as time and research indicates. So it's never static. It's never always coming to a conclusion. There's always something changing. So let me go back to how to be an authoritative parent, the one that is most desirable, basically. And so the main concept that you're trying to instill in your children is their sense of personal power within the confines of a family structure that is emotionally healthy and balanced with the needs of everyone in the family. And this requires you to create boundaries and natural consequences for any misbehavior. It invites you to be firm, but with gentleness. Now, this, of course, will take time. It'll take energy. It'll take focus. Sometimes you probably feel like you don't have it in you. But in the long run, your children will benefit from growing up with a much healthier sense of personal power and create a self-discipline for themselves. A child from this environment, this authoritative parenting style, will be able to self-regulate. They'll be able to understand consequences. They can deal with disappointment and meet life circumstances with a positive outlook. So I have a resource that I like to use. It's from the Association Montessori Internationale. It's a publication called An Aid to Life. And there are some very helpful tips in many of these articles. But one in particular was talking about how to guide children towards self-discipline, because that is the ultimate goal. When a child has self-discipline, they are empowered in a really wonderful way. They have inner control and they feel like they can self-regulate, which is a really good feeling. So the following ideas that I want to offer to you are very empowering to most kids and can be implemented fairly easily in your home. So the first one is give your child equipment, furniture, tools, kitchen utensils that are geared to use for that particular age, for their particular developmental stage, and then show them how to care for themselves and for their environment. So things like dusting a shelf, sweeping the floor, maybe you give them, some of the laundry to do, folding their own clothes. Very young children like to fold or make it match their socks, or maybe just putting the silverware in the dishwasher, things like that. Because all of those tasks, even though we as adults often don't really want to do those, or they're mundane, or we just don't enjoy it, young children love to do those kinds of things. And when they can do it alongside you, they even feel better about that. So that's something that all families should try to create, is a way for children to have self-care and then care of the environment at home. Now, the second one I wanted to talk about is letting your child learn from their own mistakes. So don't immediately correct your child when they've done something wrong or had an accident or made a mistake. So let's say your child spills their cup of water. Maybe you're having snack and the cup falls over, or maybe they try to make it knock over. So basically what I would do would be to just remain seated, nonchalant. I don't make a big deal about it. Hopefully they'll notice the spill. And some children really get used to that idea, like, oh, I spilled. I need to go get the towel. And when they do notice, then remind your child where they can find the mop or the towel or whatever, if they are not remembering, because you should also have all of those things in a place that's accessible to your child, no matter what age. So if they don't notice or make a move to clean it up, you can say, oh, did you notice the floor? Or I saw something hit the floor. What do you need to do now? So this is a really healthy way for the child to deal with life's little mishaps and come out with an intact self-worth, because you don't have to correct them. They can be self-correcting. So the third thing that you can do is, if your child is abusing toys or materials, just redirect them by letting them know how the toy is intended to be used. So you could say, if they're working on a puzzle and they throw the piece, you could say the puzzle pieces are for fitting inside the puzzle. Here, let's do it together. Or you could say the blocks are only for stacking. We have to be safe. Let's practice. And then you can help them stack up their blocks or whatever it is. And if they continue to keep throwing that particular toy, you can say, now it's time to find a ball and go outside. It looks like you really need to throw. And outside is a good place to throw. And so you can keep it positive by redirecting that energy. Then the next thing I wanted to share about is offer appropriate choices. And this is so empowering to a young child, any child, but a very young child especially, because they get into this habit then, and they get used to making choices, and the older they get, then you can offer more and more. So, and I know I've talked about this in some of my previous podcasts, but for a really young child, offer the red shorts or the blue shorts. Which one? Hold up two pair and offer those two choices. And that is really the maximum for a very young child, because you don't want to overwhelm them. But as they get older, they can be offered more choices and more things to choose. For example, you know, when they're small, you may want to offer two items of clothing or two food items or two toys, but absolutely not offer what time to go to bed or whether mommy is giving brother a hug or whether to have candy at dinner time and things like that. But as they get older, then they can have more leeway with their choice making. And an elementary or an older child that might be ready to outline their entire day with the tasks or play that they want to do. Maybe they make a list of chores. Maybe they make a list of things that they want to get done. And then they can be really self-directed in that. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about was redirecting misbehavior. And I kind of hit on that earlier, but it's best to focus on the desired behavior rather than whatever the inappropriate behavior was. So your child is putting their feet on the table. You can say, feet belong on the floor. Or it's time to make your feet touch the floor. And you can say it in a way that's really firm, direct. You're not going to say, would you please put your feet on the floor? Because that is giving them an option. You want to help them understand that now it's time to put your feet on the floor. There's no other choice right now. But you don't want to say, get your feet off the table, because then you're telling them their feet are on the table and you're sort of reinforcing that. So by saying, put your feet on the floor now, or I can help you put your feet on the floor, or some version of that, you want to elicit that desired behavior. And so reinforcing that will often help them. The next thing I wanted to talk about is eliminating rewards. Because the reward for a young child is often the work that they've done, the satisfaction of a job well done, the completion of a task. If you allow your child to marvel in their ability, the fact that she persisted in getting it done, if you give him positive language that's affirming, like, you were really able to do that all by yourself. Way to go. Or you could say, I noticed that you stayed with it until it was done. That took a lot of persistence. And so this gives them information about their abilities. And subsequently, it offers that feeling of a reward, but it's their own internal reward. And it's also important to have the same attitude toward punishment, because punishment doesn't work. It only focuses on the undesired behavior, and it doesn't give the child information about what is desired. So if you eliminate rewards and punishments, and you can replace it with some of these other things I've talked about, I think you'll notice that things go much better and much smoother in your family. So again, we want to focus on what the behavior that we do want is, and you know, and we don't want them to harbor those negative feelings about being punished or being harped at, or you know, being reminded all the time about the negative pieces. And so that giving them that positive is often, you know, all it takes. So the last thing that I wanted to share with you is to keep consistent routines and set limits. So this often can be the hardest thing to do as a parent, because you're tired. You just want to say, okay, you can stay up because I don't feel like dealing with the bedtime routine or whatever it is. But this is so critical. Children need to know what to expect. They need to understand that they're not going to get what they want always, and that's okay. And if you keep consistent their routine and their limits and boundaries, they're going to function much better, even if they get upset some of the time. So these are just a few of the many, many ways that you can offer your children an opportunity to empower. And again, we go back to that word power. You're setting that stage for them to gain the skills they need, to gain a positive self-worth, a cooperative spirit within the family, and a healthy relationship with everyone else in their family and their community. Because remember, you are the one who has to set up the paradigm and the rules. And then within that structure, your child will thrive with making age-appropriate decisions and those that empower and engage him in life, or her in her life. So I hope this has been helpful, that you've been able to look at your family relationships through the lens of balance. So until next time, I hope that you can find great ways to communicate with your family, and I'll see you and talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.